It's time for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV-FM. Listen live at 104.9 FM. Stream at listenlikealocal.com or enjoy the program on the official WSKV-FM app from the Google Play or Apple App Store. You can also listen on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast. You're listening to PCSN Live. Let's join Dave and Ken at the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton.
And good evening. Welcome back, everyone, to another edition of PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV, the Powell County Sports Network. It has been, we weren't on last week. I think we brought you basketball action. I knew when I came in, I was like, how do you work this stuff? I kind of forgot. Just a week off, you kind of forget, because I think you uploaded a program the week before. It's been about 3 weeks since I've uploaded the program for us, and thinking, hey, how do I do this again? Kind of forgetting a couple weeks.
It's easy to do when you're not around like that.
Yes, it is. So, again, glad to be back with you here tonight live in the studio, which was bringing you a basketball contest. That would mean the Powell County boys would be in the regional championship game. However, they didn't make it out of the district this year, and it will be Knott County versus Hazard in the boys' 14th regional championship tonight. We'll talk about that and more later. And then also the girls will be in action on Friday versus Breathitt County in the first round of the regional tournament at Perry Central. And again, we'll discuss that more in a bit. But first, back to what we normally talk about when we first come on there, and that's our COVID numbers.
Yeah, let's go back as we normally do. We'll go back to Saturday, the 20th of March. There was one new case. On Sunday, the 21st, there was another case. And then on Monday, starting Monday, David, things have kind of been a little on the rough side. Monday, there were 8 new cases in Powell County. When you go to the 23rd, which would have been yesterday, there was one new case. However, that brought the total to 29 active cases. And then when you look at the case count for today, 9 new cases on March the 24th here in Powell County, 37 active cases. That brings the total case count to 1,061. 1,012 have recovered. There have been 12 unfortunate deaths. Again, 37 active cases. Powell County is back in the red. Our rate is 27.7 is where we actually are. So Estill and Jackson are both red as well, just as a perspective.
Well, we'll kind of say it to you this way. That number reflected the 27% is yesterday.
Correct, yes.
So we'll, with the 9 new cases, we'll probably jump well over 30 after today. For so tomorrow's positivity rate will likely be over 30 here in Powell County. And again, this is something we've talked about on and off again while we've been doing this. The CDC has told us since the beginning and the middle of all phases of this that they are expecting another additional surge in April. We are getting to the end of March, and vaccinations numbers are way up in Kentucky. Oh, you know, well over a million, maybe even almost closer to 2 million now, which is great. You've got people who are now vaccinated and ready to go. You've got folks who have had the virus in the last 3 months and seemingly protected at this point. I think after 3 months, it's kind of iffy whether you're still good or not. So what we've got is a lot of fatigue from the mask wearing. This is my opinion. And you know, it's getting pretty outside. I'm not saying it's spread outside, but it is getting pretty. More people getting out and about, more relaxed. You see people not wearing masks more often and more freely. And when the numbers are going up in those circumstances, I mean, that just goes and tells me, and you know, as a school person, and you are too, we have had, I don't think we've had any cases because of school. I'll point that out. Most of the cases are coming from other causes and then linked to school, because we've had, you know, at the high school in the last week and a half, at least 7 teachers have been quarantined. Elementary schools had a few quarantined as well. We've had cases on our boys basketball team, cheerleaders, and now a case on the football team. So a lot, we've got probably, I would think, close to 50 or 60 kids in quarantine from the high school I know. So that's just, those are contacts, close contacts with those who were infected, came to school, or I think maybe even the weight room. But that being said, it's not time to drop your protection. It probably now more than ever is just stay safe, wear your mask, distance, sanitize, follow the protocols, because apparently we're seeing a surge, I say, in Powell County. You said it, Estill, and Breathitt. And then I'll back up and say Kentucky's cases have never looked better.
You're right, yeah, which is crazy in and of itself to think, you know, we're green across the state in so many counties.
And then you go to Eastern Kentucky.
But then there's about five in Eastern Kentucky, and I think there's three over towards Western Kentucky. So there's about eight counties, though, that are red. But to think that us...
A couple weeks ago, we were back to nobody was red.
Yes.
There were no red counties in the state of Kentucky a couple weeks ago. Now we're back to eight. The math works the same way every time. If we've got eight now, we're probably going to have 10 to 15 next time we have a show. We're going to see another surge. We got the variants now are in Kentucky. I'm not saying these are the variants that are hitting now, but they're here. So they're expecting more rapid growth of the virus when the variants hit. Even those people who may have been vaccinated may not be safe against the variants. We have to see that one. But again, you know, we talk about getting ready for a spring sports season, baseball, softball, track, what we lost last year. And I'll just tell you this. We've already had a cancellation in softball. First game of the season was, we postponed the game. We're going to play it at a later date, but it's already been canceled due to COVID. The other team had their entire team's quarantined. So we moved the game, and they could not play on our first date, which was the 29th. We still had players in quarantine that were coming off, I think, on the 29th or 30th. So, you know, and we got these quarantine cases. Yeah, you may not have an active case, but you're quarantined, so you can't play. So it just kind of a one of those deals where I think softball, baseball, track season is going to be iffy at best, because if we do see these surges, you know, more people are getting back into school. I'm not knocking school. I think we should be back in school. But when you have these close contacts now, people are quarantined. You got to be quarantined now for 2 weeks because kids don't take the vaccine. They're not like the teachers. You quarantine for a few days, or now even the vaccinated teachers don't have to quarantine at all. But if you haven't been vaccinated, you quarantine for the 14 or up to 14 days. You test in the middle and you can come back. Kids now don't test before they can come back. So they're just, I guess, staying virtual. So you got about, what, a two-week window where you can't participate. So if you get a case in mid-April, you're out until May.
Well, and think about this, too. In Powell County, our spring break is coming up the following week. You know, we're a week and a half away from that starting.
Next week's full, the next week's spring break.
Yeah, and at that point, a lot of people potentially traveling, you know, no matter if it's the beach, no matter if it's Gatlinburg, no matter where it is, a lot of people potentially are traveling, and then what's going to happen, those people coming back. So the way I'm looking at it is the end of April, 1st of May, we're probably going to see an uptick as well, just based on the fact that people will be traveling.
You got spring break coming up that starts, I guess, officially would start around the 2nd, 3rd, Friday, Saturday, up through the next week. Now, also, you have Easter Sunday coming up on the 4th. So that kind of kicks off spring break here, that Easter weekend. So, you know, a lot of families want to go to church. I'm not saying don't go to church. There may be more ways to worship than just going to church and socialize. But again, the aspect where that's the most popular service day as far as going to an Easter Sunday service, spring break is coming up. More people are going to be traveling, like you said. That tells me you're probably going to get an uptick. That's what we have
more
seen.
More than likely. Yes. We're speculating. But,
yes, we are.
But data and statistics, as we've seen, that's usually what happens. Even after Christmas break, right? Thanksgiving, yes. We saw an uptick after those holidays, New Year's.
And that's likely why the CDC said we'll probably hit another surge in April, because they know where more people are going to be going to church. More people are kind of getting tired of the mask. And
spring break aspects, whether it's college or, yes, or just even school, public schools, right?
More people are out. I mean, if you saw the pictures the other day of the riots, I guess even riots that happened in Miami, all the spring breakers wanted to have a good time. It was a curfew violations, I guess. So there were several arrests, a lot of actual beat downs. You could see them on the videos that you got. You hate to see that these teenagers going down for, you know, fun. But you will probably see a surge from some of those folks that want to travel in a mass outing. And I don't care whether you're inside or outside or whatever, you're that close together. If somebody's got it, you could likely contract the coronavirus the way it is. So, again, you got to be safe. You got to be careful. Again, everybody that wants to say, well, let's protect spring sports as much as we can, you can't protect from people who are not just going to follow protocols and put others at risk. That's the whole bottom line. Even the NCAA tournament had a team not even get to play a game 2 hours prior to the game.
You're out. Yeah.
Didn't even play.
And I ended up even hearing this statistic. You know, I take science with a grain of salt because a lot of times they're dealing in statistics when they're giving us this data. And, yeah, you know, you kind of take it from it. But a scientific report said that over 50% of the COVID cases likely come from asymptomatic
carriers.
People, meaning you have no signs, no symptoms, no anything, and potentially it's those people, if you will, that are potentially transmitting the virus. That's phenomenal in a sense of thinking that someone is not showing any signs or symptoms, but yet potentially could be a spreader, you know, a transmitter of this virus.
Well, let's take this a step further. And they've told us this. Every person who's been vaccinated and is protected from the coronavirus, we're all spreaders. So we have to stay masked to protect others, because now that we may not get sick, we may have it, not even know it, and pass it to others. So everybody, I'm not saying everybody that's been vaccinated is going to be a carrier, but now
50-50.
They can, anybody who's been vaccinated could catch it, not know it, and easily transmit it. Because guess what? The person who's been vaccinated, okay, I'm safe. Yeah, you are, but your neighbor, just like always, you're protecting your neighbor. That's why you're wearing the mask. That's why the mask mandate hasn't gone anywhere yet, because normal people who haven't been vaccinated aren't protected from the people who have.
Right.
So there you go. It's kind of a little tangled web, which we're not out of yet. It's not over. Please stay safe and follow the protocols. All we can ask you to do, we've got to get these numbers back down. Again, we don't want to get back up to 40, 50, 60% here. Again, I don't think we're going to be shutting schools down unless there's you have an outbreak at school caused from that. I don't, as far as I know, there have been no spread of cases at school. Not that there won't, but there haven't been. There's only been close contacts and quarantines.
But the fact that we've had 17 new cases a 3-day period, basically, that's a little on the rough side in a sense. 17 new cases, and the fact that we are at 37, again, it goes back to mask up, wash your hands, sanitize your hands, keep distance, you know, from each other in a sense. And again, let's try and get through this. Because obviously with the fact that the weather is getting nicer, mm-hmm. makes it harder because everybody wants to get out, right? And when you're outside, you don't want to wear your mask.
But I would have to say it is probably a lot safer outside than it is inside. So, as long as we keep our distance, like if we're on the softball field, if I'm 25 feet away from the kids, I don't mind maybe dropping it for a few minutes. I don't like to take my mask off because we tell the kids to wear them. So it's not really appropriate if I'm not going to wear mine and tell you to wear yours. It's kind of, I don't work that way. It's kind of what I expect my players to wear their masks if we ask them to.
Set an example.
So, well, you have to be. If you're not, then you're going the other direction. And why should I expect them to wear one if I'm not going to?
Agreed.
So that's our COVID update for today. Sorry we went a little bit long with that. But, again, our numbers are getting too high not to talk about it a little bit deeper here on PCSN Live. We'll take a break. Be back in a moment.
Ever think about this? 83% of customers who buy from Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram buy again. The reason? Great deals, great service, and a simple way of doing business. March is Ram Truck Month. and the all-new 2021 Ram pickups are priced to sell. Come see why the Ram is the truck of the year for 2019, 2020, and 2021. Come see why Tanner is the best place to buy. Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, just off the Mountain Parkway in Stanton.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, and they know that you're unique in the way you want to do banking. That's why they offer great services like Phone Smart, where you can call and find out about your account. Or how about text banking, where you can text and find out exactly what you want to know about your account. And you can set up really cool text alerts and find out when maybe you drop below a certain balance, reminding you to balance your checkbook. They have online banking and convenient apps for Android and Apple. Those apps give you the ability to make mobile deposits. Just snap a picture of your check and deposit it. Whitaker Bank also allows you to apply for a loan online at their website at WhitakerBank.com. And don't forget, you have access to your money 24/7 with Whitaker Bank's ATMs, where you can make a cash withdrawal day or night. For more information about these great services, call the main branch at 606-663-2283. That's Whitaker Bank, Stanton, Clay City, and Campton. Whitaker Bank, uniquely Kentucky. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital, when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvin.
Welcome back here to PCSN Live. Ken, I was just talking off the air, so I have my headset in, ready to go. But we'll kick off with boys basketball. Not that that's the best, but we'll kick off with boys basketball. Because they are playing first in the regional tournament. Talk about the teams, how they got there. In the 56th district, it was Estill County over Owsley County in the championship. Pretty exciting game for a while. Owsley had a chance, I think, and then lost a little momentum late in the game, and Estill County was proved too much. They both advanced. It was Hazard and Perry both advancing in the 54th district. And it was Cordia, Knott County Central in the 53rd, Breathitt and Wolf in the 55th. Estill County played Perry, which was a loser of the 54th, but Perry won against Estill in a close game. Came down to Estill County went on a cold streak there in the fourth quarter. Really just couldn't put a lot of basket scoring on the board, and then got hot. Kobe Click hit a couple threes there late to try to get the game within four, maybe. And maybe they got within
three at
one point.
They had a chance to tie it,
yes,
with about a minute, 0.2 seconds to go or something like that, and just came up short.
Yeah, just came up. They just couldn't hit the big shots to get back in. Again, not enough shots hit by Estill to stay in that one. But again, they fell out of the first round. Owsley County lost big in their first round game. Yesterday it was Wolf County that played, that won their first round game, played Hazard, which is a rematch of last year's championship game, and Hazard was victorious. Wolf County had a horrible third quarter, only scored 2 points in the third, outscored, I think, 14-2 in the third quarter. As I watched a little bit of that broadcast on the Bluegrass Sports Station Facebook live page, I don't think they're as good as ours, but anyway, it's up and open. But again, we did see. I thought Wolf County had a chance to win that game, but again, that third quarter just absolutely caused them all chances. Plus, they missed, I think, 7 or 8 free throws in the fourth quarter. Couldn't really buy a basket in the fourth. Probably took some shots that were not the best choices in the world. But when you get down, you take shots that may not be the best shot. And it was just a little bit too much from Hazard going forward in that one. Knott County played. This one I'm forgetting. That's sad. I just drew a blank on who the other team was in a semifinal.
So it was Perry Central.
Yes, they beat Perry. Yes,
yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
They beat Perry in their I can't remember who beat Cordia to get there. I guess it was Wolfgang who beat Cordia. That's how they got to the semifinals, and it was, you're correct, that's the matchup it was. It was Knott County over, or Perry over. Not over Perry in the semifinals. That game was, I think, fairly close as well. It was close going down the wire. Perry just didn't have enough ammunition for Knott County later on in the game. I had to foul, and I think the margin got up a little bit more than, but it was a better game than what the margin showed. So it'll be Knott County and Hazard tonight. The game starts at 7 o'clock. You guys are, after you leave us, hope you maybe want to tune into the broadcast. Several ways you can listen or even watch the game tonight at Breathitt County. Should be a really good boys basketball regional championship. And you're probably your two best, arguably your best teams in the 14th region in the championship game.
Yeah, especially record-wise and even RPI, the two top teams. They not ended up winning during the regular season.
First game of the season.
Yeah, right. So that's a long time ago, so payback in a sense for Hazard. But in many respects, regardless of who wins, the 14th should be represented really well because I think both of those teams are still very strong teams. You know, and, you know, you even look at the game the other night. I'm getting out of the region, but you look at Lexington Catholic end up getting beat by Madison Central. 101-97
What's
in
up
a
with that?
High school basketball game. Not overtime.
No defense.
Yeah, right? Well, defense. But still, that and when as soon as I saw that score, I was like, incredible, right?
I saw that when I came in and looked at some scores, and I thought that one stood out to me. You're
and
right.
Lexington Catholic, you know, for a while was one of the top-rated teams in the state. So the fact that they got bounced is...
Wouldn't you love to not play in that region? You got Franklin County, I think, was in that in the semifinals. Franklin, and you're talking Dunbar, Franklin, Frederick Douglass. Sorry, I don't think I want to play in that region. That's you
brutal.
You probably got a state tournament caliber of a regional tournament with those eight teams that are, or I guess those teams that are involved in that. That's just. I'm glad we're not in that region. That's not too far away from us, but it's a tough region to have to play in. You'd have to, 10th, 11th, those two, the 11th region, what we're talking about, probably one of the toughest regions in the state of Kentucky.
And again, it could go any direction. Yes. They will be well represented as well. And in many respects, honestly, as far as the way that things are kind of shaping up, it ought to make for a great Sweet 16. Still a lot of strong teams still alive.
Yeah, you have to hope people can stay away from COVID. Again, I hate to get back to that, but you know, you have to hope that this doesn't affect these teams going forward. I know a lot of schools, when you watch a tournament, it looks different than what you see here at Estill. It looks different what you would have seen at Powell. It's going to look a lot different when we couldn't bring you the Facebook Live because they were on the NFHS app, but the number of seating that was sold was down. We're getting ready to go to Perry, and it's, I think, if you want tickets, there's plenty available. Just contact the school. I know Mr. Brewer had, I can't remember how many tickets he had. It's not like any four per player or nothing. I mean, there's a major amount of tickets available. If you want to go to the game, you can go. There's, again, you have to purchase those at the school. And to get in, but there's a plethora, if you will, of tickets available. I know this is the same way for the boys. And again, it will be available, I would think, Facebook Live again tonight for the championship game. And I would think the girls tournament, the entire thing, somewhere on Facebook Live. Hopefully we can bring it to you on Friday night. We'll have to keep you updated with that one as we go on. But anyway, it should be an exciting game tonight. Like I said, the tip-off is the coin flip, I guess, will be at 7 o'clock there at the Breathitt County Coliseum. So we'll take another break here. We'll come back with the girls' regional tournament. Do want to talk about one more boys' score before we get back. We'll take a break first and come back with that one here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Hinkel Contracting Company specializes in asphalt paving for commercial and large private applications, parking lots, roads, entryways, and more. And they can do complete site preparation and provide expert asphalt paving. Call their local office at 606-663-2437 or find more information at hinkelcontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkel Contracting Company.
At Davis & Davis Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event for your loved one. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com for more information.
When a health crisis threatened our community, the healthcare heroes at Clark Regional Medical Center answered the call. As we move forward, life might look different, including healthcare, but there's one thing that won't change: the quality of care you've always relied on at Clark Regional Medical Center. We are again offering a range of healthcare services, from preventive screenings and physicals to quality of life procedures, to help you make the most of every moment moving forward. Our entire team is working hard to ensure a safe place of care and a healthier community for all of us. For more information, visit clarkregional.org.
Welcome back to PCS, and I've got one boys' court, boys' game I do want to talk about. Saw a lot of jabber about this game on Facebook, or actually I didn't see it. I heard about it from Kayla D, and then heard it today at school from another teacher. This happened, I think, Eastridge Johnson Central game this week. It was three overtimes. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Johnson Central tied the game up at the end of regulation with a big shot. It was Eastridge tying it up at the end of the first overtime. Maybe Johnson Central tied up the second overtime. And in the third overtime, now get this, Johnson Central held the ball for 3 minutes and 57 seconds.
In overtime.
Hit a shot, and they had 2 seconds left to get one off. I'm not even sure they got a good shot off for Eastridge. But my thinking is this. If a high school basketball team has the ability to hold the ball for 4 minutes, so be it.
It's part of the game.
People are saying we should have a shot clock. This should be that. This should not be allowed. Folks, I've talked about this on the air this year. If you could hold the ball that long, that's an art of itself. I did hear a little bit more information about the overtime. There wasn't a lot of pressure from Eastridge. I think one of the players just kind of held the ball out top. They didn't force the action. And why would you for a couple minutes? I mean, if you get a steal, a turnover, you got the ball, you have the option to do the same thing. I just kind of want people what you think. You know, I'm not saying this to get anything started, but I like it. I like the fact that a team could actually hold the ball for the duration of an overtime, get a last-second shot, and I think what it was, the player that held the ball, I guess they guarded him a little bit, but he wound up getting the shot off to take the lead. So he wasn't pressured even enough to where it would stop him from scoring. It was an outside shot. It was a three. If you missed it, who cares? You're going back into another overtime. Obviously, Eastridge had first in that overtime. But again, is there anything wrong with that?
I don't think so. And I think even under the circumstances, you have to be physically exhausted, right, at that point. And there's no telling as far as even foul trouble.
Right.
You're almost forced into that situation. But I even think, in a sense, if you have a team that is outsized and, you know, the best chance that you have is to slow the pace of the game, why not do that? There are no rules. I like the fact that you have
in
that available.
Basketball.
Yes, I like the fact that you have that option available. If that's how you can win, and let's say the final score is 12-10, but you won the game, because ultimately that is the goal of the game, is to win. If you win 12-10 and you held the ball and that you won, I mean, going back the four corners,
Dean Smith, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, North Carolina would run that all the time before the shot clock era.
But that is probably the kicker of getting the shot clock in college basketball.
That probably, yeah.
Obviously, it was already a shot clock in the NBA. It does create more action. But North Carolina, for years, ran that four-corner to perfection.
Yeah.
And if they needed to. It wasn't a game they played all the time. But big games come up. And, you know, I always tell people, if you can win a game 8-7, win it.
Think about this.
It doesn't matter the score. It's just...
In theory, you just about do that in football with some teams as well. I'm going to run Roy Kidd, EKU.
I'm eating clock.
That's exactly right. I'm going to run it at you. It's up to you to stop me, and I'm going to keep running that clock as long as I can because ultimately the clock, I'm playing against the clock as well.
We always think, okay, time of possession was a big deal. If you held the ball, if you played a game and it was a 60-minute game and you held the ball for 40 minutes, you're going to win. In today's game, it's so fast at times. If the team that had the ball 20 minutes, they scored four touchdowns quickly, and you're still struggling to run the football, you can't score, but you got three field goals, I just beat you 28-9.
Right.
So that sometimes it gets flipped pretty quickly now with the fast-paced offenses the way they are in the NFL, even in the college game. And I think at some point some of the high school teams play that way. So it's about strategy. It's about what is the best thing for you to win. I know a lot of people complain about watching, and I'm not knocking Coach Bentley at Estill County. A lot of people don't like that style of basketball. But when I look at it as this, I think it's kind of art.
I was getting ready to use that exact same word. That's exactly what I thought. It is an art.
Yes.
Because you've broken it down, and they were a well-oiled machine when Estill was playing their best, and obviously against Perry Central, they didn't have their best game by any means. But yet, when they were at their best with some of those backdoor cuts and passes and everything, I mean, they were a very efficient offense.
But when you're matched up against a team that, let's say you're even, let's say Perry Estill were even, they're not going to get blown out. They're going to, if they hit shots, now they have to eventually hit a shot on a possession because every possession is important when you're doing that kind of a game. And normally against us, against Lee, we've seen against Owsley County, they took premium shots. And I think those premium shots didn't come as often against Perry, which is why they struggled a little bit as far as the scoring aspect of the game. But I think it's high school basketball at its best. I think it's the style of play, in my opinion, that wins regions. I don't think the fast-paced game wins regions. I think your defensive teams and your teams that control the tempo are the ones that win your regional titles. That's just my opinion. And, again, anybody can disagree that wants to. It just seems like to me it's a safer bet, if you will, if that's a better term. That if I can control the game, I score 40, you score 32, I win by 8, I'll take the win.
Well, plus if I get up on by 6 to 8 points and now I'm slowing that down. Yeah, correct, because I'm not going to give you enough time in a sense unless you're scoring quickly.
Exactly.
When you get that ball, you better be on a fast break to score because otherwise I have tough defense. And then offensively, I'm going to slow it down so much and milk that clock that you're not going to have a chance to get back.
See, so all you folks out there that say, okay, I want a shot clock after the Johnson Central game. Why don't you just say this? Commend the coach for a good game plan because it won the game. You're paid as a high school coach to try to win games. It doesn't matter how you do it. Win games. Again, they don't draw a picture of how to win. It's just, I don't know what the score, final score of the game was. But, again, to me, it's if that's what you need to do to protect your players from foul trouble, if you're not exhausted, whatever the situation may have been, again, East Ridge could have come out and pressed anytime they want to, try to put more pressure on the ball, try to get them to make turnover. They didn't. Whose fault is that?
Well, on one hand, too, would you rather have a team that is a slow-paced team that wins a district and regional title slow-paced, or would you rather have a team that's really fast-paced and they're good, but you don't win the district or the region?
I'll say it this way. I don't care who you have and which teams you have. People will find a reason to complain.
Good point. You're right.
just thought I'd throw that in there. I don't care if you got a winner or a loser. We've had really successful basketball programs here in the past, and some coaches, I would say, have been more successful than others, and we've ran them out of town. And when we've had, and I know Blake had a bad run here, and I know people won't run him out of town, but he was probably smart enough to go ahead and say, okay, I'm going to spend time with my family and my daughter, which is more important to him right now in his career. I think he's made a good decision, by the way, if y'all didn't know it. He did resign last week after, again, he wasn't forced out. It was his choice solely. He just wanted to spend more time with his family, and that decision was kind of made earlier this year. He just kind of committed to it here when he resigned last week. So, again, I kind of want to throw that out there. I think he's making a good decision for himself and his family. His daughter's too. He missed the time that he spent away, and you can't miss the small things that you miss when you're a head coach somewhere. It's just too much of a
– They grow up way too fast, and when you're missing out on those
little
growth
things.
Spurts, exactly, yes. Those little things, and all of a sudden you realize how much you've missed, it's almost heartbreak. It's not worth it.
It's not worth it. Not again, worth it. I'm proud of Blake for his decision that he made, and he can stay
on
out
his
of that
terms.
Drama. But again, like I said, there was a lot of people unhappy with Blake. The coaches I've watched here at Powell, I don't care if they're successful or unsuccessful. Everybody's a basketball coach here, and they want to run everybody out here. It doesn't matter. Like I said,
pick a sport,
and it doesn't matter if you're successful or not. It's
somebody will find something to complain
about. Somebody will find something to complain about. So again, that's my take on that John Central. We're going to go ahead and take another break here since we talked about the John Central game here on PCSN Live with David Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
Attorney Teddy Flint represents people in personal injury cases. Call for a free consultation. Remember, Teddy Flint only gets paid if you do. Attorney Teddy Flint, sponsoring radio broadcast of the Powell County Pirates. This is an advertisement. Court costs may be the responsibility of the client.
Your Stanton Ace Hardware has geared up for the biggest garden season in history. They've been reserving product for months to fulfill all the needs of their wonderful, loyal customers. They have an abundant stock of canning supplies, plants, and seed. Stop by Stanton Ace Hardware for all your lawn and garden needs. They practice safe social distancing, and masks are a must. Ace, the helpful place.
So, anyway, we're back here on PCSN Live with Dave again. Now, we are definitely going to kick it over to the girls' time because we want to give girls their due. Again, the Powell County girls are in the regional tournament and have had a really good season. It's been a little up and down, more ups than down, but there have been winnable games they've lost and really most of the games they've been in. They've been in some really close contests. They've had a good season led by senior Macy Howe, and also got a good freshman team, Makaya Cottle. She really keeps that edge going, in my opinion. But again, with those two leading the way, and Ken Jones back in the helm, and I think he does a good job. Again, he's one of those coaches that some people don't agree with at all times. You've never really seen girls basketball in Powell County as successful as it has been anywhere else.
Consistently successful.
We've seen people go to regions. We've seen people win the district. And, you know, Ken's been doing this for a long time now in the girls' sport and girls' basketball, but he's really kind of had a winner for the most of his career. He's had a couple of seasons where they had losing records, but for the majority of his career, he's had winning seasons, and it is what it is. I think he does a really good job coaching here. But, again, I'm sure there's people who are critics, as always, and I wish Ken the best. And he actually got a really good draw this year at the regional tournament, and not saying they'll win a game. But I guarantee you, if Ken Jones drew this bracket out, he may have won at game one instead of game eight or game four. But other than that, the teams would have been exactly where they are in the bracket that we are looking at.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a good draw for the Lady Pirates. We'll actually start with them as they will play on Friday night against Breathitt County. That game will be at 8 o'clock, so a late start. Again, these games are at Perry County Central High School.
5:30 and 8, right?
5:30 and 8. So Breathitt County against Powell County at 8 o'clock on Friday night. And then the game prior to that, the 5:30 start, is Perry County Central against Wolf County. That's not right. Although that's what's written down here.
But it's not correct. It is Perry County Central versus, let me think of who that
would be. Should have looked at this prior to this.
Letcher Central, I believe.
I think you're right.
Yes, because the bracket came to us, it had Wolf on there twice.
Yeah, right. So let's go back to Thursday night. So Thursday will be the first game, Owsley County against Leslie County.
Big-time matchup there, folks.
And Owsley County has proven, in a sense, all season long that they're at the top, but Leslie is right there with them. So as far as an opening regional tournament game, that's going to be a really good matchup.
Yeah, you're talking probably Leslie County, probably looking at least three or four as far as the rankings, I would think. Again, they were upset by Perry. For this season, if you look at the ratings, they were an upset loss. So being what you would think of the best team in the 54th, playing your Owsley County Owls in the first round, that's a tough matchup for Owsley County.
That is a tough matchup. You're exactly right. And then the second game of the night on Thursday, Knott County Central against Wolf County.
And you're talking about there again, Knott County is probably your second pick to win the region in the same bracket. So, again, this is, if Ken Jones drew this bracket out, this is exactly what he would want it to look like. And I'm not saying if you're living in Breathitt County, you're picking on what I'm saying here. That's who he wanted. I'm just saying this is the bracket that Ken Jones wants. Again, three of the top four teams, ranking-wise, are in that top bracket. That is a tough out in the regional tournament, top of that bracket on Thursday night.
Yeah, again, when you're looking at Owsley County sitting there at 19-3 on the season, and then Leslie County at 17-8, they're in the three spot as far as regional rankings, and then Knott County Central squeezed in between them. So as you mentioned,
three
of the top four in that upper bracket, that's tough.
Who's four right now?
The Lady Pirates.
Are exactly right. So if you look at the ratings, Powell is a top seed in the bottom bracket. I'm not saying they're going to win that bottom bracket, but you can't draw it out any better for the Lady Pirates to get to the championship game. That just is what it is. Perry Central is obviously playing really good basketball right now. They're playing at Perry Central. That would be a tough game for the Lady Pirates. That being said, Powell County is a good enough team to get there. They got to get business first. They got to take care of Breathitt County, who they defeated by, 26 points?
Yeah. Less than 2 weeks ago.
Ladies, if you're listening, don't take that game and say, we're going to do that again. There were times in that ball game that was a tough basketball game to play. The defense inside was really good. They allowed Powell County some shooting. Presley Hall hit 5 threes. Kansas Stevens hit 3. That was a shooting night premiere for the Lady Pirates. Take that away. You got a good basketball game. I would be surprised if the game is not definitely a 10-point max game between the two. Hope they surprise me and win by more, but I think this game is going to be a 10-point game. You can't go in, overlook Breathitt County in round one of the regional tournament.
You can't overlook anybody at this point, because at this point, nobody has a win, nobody has a loss. It's almost brand new season.
It's just fun to talk about.
Brand new season. We're starting all over, in a sense, from scratch. And at this point, let's see who's going to prove it. Because you know as well as I do, it's irrelevant. We're even going back to the Lexington Catholic against Madison Southern. Lexington Catholic should have been given the nod. They're going in the first game of the district tournament, and all of a sudden they're bounced by a team that they beat earlier in the season. So at that point, again, you have to be careful. You have to come prepared. Every one of those games, you can't look ahead. You got to face the opponent that is on the court, that's drawn up against you in the brackets, and you have to be prepared. So knowing how the Lady Pirates are, they do a great job mentally preparing themselves for each one. They know, as they've done throughout the season, they take things one game at a time. Ken Jones does a great job of getting his team prepared. Let's hope that the Lady Pirates actually show up and come away with that win. Again, the opportunity is there for them to seize this opportunity, to seize the moment. You got to show up. You got to put it all out on the floor and play from one end to the other, from the opening tip all the way to the final sound of the horn. And again, I like the Lady Pirates' chances. They've got a really good team, very competitive. They hustle. You have to have players besides Macy Howell and Makaira Cottle to show up. You know, they've been averaging almost 20 points a game here as of late. But it's
been Presley Hall lately.
Yes.
So hopefully she'll keep that game face on and continue that. I really look for Kansas Stevens to have another good offensive game. If she'll get out of her own head, she'll be fine. If not, other thing she's doing is really good. Her defense has been stellar. Her passing game has been good. So at least she is a contributor. Now, offensively, she's got to get a mindset where I believe in myself to score, period. That's the way she has to think about the game.
You're right.
So, other than that, Chloe Grader's a tough defender. Look for good things out of her. Also, Lori Faulkner has been getting a lot of playing time, and also Kira Anderson. Again, those three are top-notch defenders when they see action. So,
and even with Chloe real quick, she's been taking a lot more shots as well. Love to see that confidence out of her stepping in. And again, when the Lady Pirates, when they collectively, the five players out on the floor, when they work together as a team, they are very efficient on both ends of the floor and are capable, honestly, of beating anybody.
I really think this team gets along well. I really do. I think this is a team that, for some reason, meshes. And what we've seen, it seemed like, yeah, okay, your point guard scores 18, 20 points a game, but she had just to make a really nice pass to get a layup. It's not like it's any situation where she's trying to do too much. She's not. Now, she may try to foul too much. Hopefully that stops.
But she's just trying to be play good defense in a sense.
Just try not in the regional tournament without reaching as much because really, really ill afford to lose you. But anyway, I was just looking at this real quick. Ledger and Perry, when you look at the rankings, they're right behind Powell. When you look at Ledger real quick, again, they will face Perry in that first game. Split with Knott County, lost in the championship by four. Also beat Perry at Perry by four back in January. Again, they didn't play Perry any more than that. Also defeated Leslie County, who we think say is a top of the line team. This team, in as far as the bottom bracket, would be my sleeper. To maybe come out of the bottom would probably Letcher Central, if it's not the Pirates. I think they have enough game to where that first contest between Letcher Perry on Friday, that should be a well of a basketball game. Again, I think you're going to see four really good games in the 14th regional tournament in girls action, just because how good all the teams are. The only game that may be I'm not going to say a dud, but you would have to think the Knott game with Wolf has potential of a big lopsided win. And that's only because Wolf County only has seven players. Their depth could really come into play against Knott County. And again, when you look at all these teams that are really successful, Wolf coming in with 13-7 is their record. Knott County coming in at 17-7. Again, I look at a really strong regional opponent. Again, Owsley has lost one game in the 14th region this year. Knott has lost three. So we've seen a couple of people who beat Knott. That's going to be – I know Owsley beat them, and I think Knott beat Owsley as well. It was Hazard to beat Owsley, wasn't it? And then Hazard is not even in the tournament. So, again, I think it's Owsley's to lose, but what they got to go through to get there is going to be a minefield. So – again, good luck to our Lady Pirates, but again, tune into the action, at least on Friday night. Ken and I bring the game at 8 o'clock, probably go on the air somewhere around 7:30, 7:45 with some prep prior to the game. And again, who knows? We may be hopefully going back on Monday for the semifinal game. And
that will be an 8 o'clock game as well on Monday if the Lady Pirates win. And we do have plans to bring you the game on Facebook Live. We've just not necessarily gotten confirmation from Perry County Central.
Access.
Correct. Yes. That's what we're kind of waiting on that. We've gotten communication, to them in a sense and haven't gotten a response back. But
I do know the game is already going to be available on a couple different broadcasts on Facebook Live. I'm hoping you'll get our broadcast on Facebook Live as well. Again, we'll have to talk to Ethan and get that set up. But again, that's our plans here on WSK, is bring you that live action on Facebook Live and also, obviously, the radio. Listen to us on WSKV on all the ways that you normally can. This is not an NFHS game. This is a game where Facebook Live is available. So hopefully we'll be able to bring you that game on Friday night. Come back for more. We'll talk about the NCAA tournament, other expectations here in just a moment here on PCSN Live.
You may find yourself with a backache, sore shoulder, or downright painful knee. We often just take it easy and hope the pain subsides after wondering what happened. Navigating our current healthcare system can be a daunting task. A cost-effective approach is to schedule a free injury screen with your Stanton Apex Network physical therapist. During a free injury screen, you'll spend time with a licensed professional to figure out the best plan of care, completely free of obligation or cost. Apex Network Physical Therapy is your hometown provider for the highest quality physical therapy and sports rehab. Contact the Stanton Apex Network Clinic at 606-393-6505 to schedule your free injury screen today.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, so I'm looking through your back window right now, making a shopping list. You just have so many expensive, nice things that would look great in my house, or even better, as cash in my wallet. As long as you don't get those pesky folks from Protect Security and Fire Systems involved, my payday should be sometime early Saturday morning.
Don't let your home breaking be someone else's payday. Protect your home from thieves, fire, and much more. Call Protect Security and Fire Systems today at 606-663-9344.
And welcome back to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. A couple of things I do want to talk about with the NCAA tournament, both men's and women's. Number one, UK lost to Iowa in the round of, 16? No, round of
32.
In the second game, second matchup for UK, lost that one pretty handily. That loss was done in the first half.
11-0 run to start the game. That's hard to come back.
Lost that one early. Again, made a really good valiant run the second half, but just way too little for the Lady Cats. Again, very respectable season. Probably one of the leading players in the nation. Too bad you can't get past the second round. But nothing's guaranteed when you get to tournament time.
No, and it's unfortunate, again, to think that you work your whole season to get to this point, to get into the tournament, and all of a sudden you don't come out and play like you're capable of playing, of course, and I can't think of what the player's name is that scored like 35 points. You know, I mean, incredible individual performance, right? She was hitting everything.
Kentucky's big player, I can't think of her name right now, it's just went a blank. She had 28 double-digit rebounds, 6 or 7 assists. I mean, she's a stud at UK. I mean, she's just one of the best players in the nation. But again, Iowa was better on a given day, and that's kind of that's why you play these games, you know. What did you think about the weight room situation when you saw that pop up? Whenever the men had a really nice weight room to work out in, the women had a bench or like one or two machines, and the men had like a really nice setup.
It's beyond shameful. Like, how in this day and age is that even? How are you not equal? I just don't understand that.
When you're the NCAA, when you push for Title IX equity and you don't provide it, that's sad. That is a sad statement of where we are and where we have not come to.
Correct. Or whatever else was in charge of that, how could you even remotely think that what was provided for the women was even remotely – it was so bare minimum. It was almost embarrassing in a sense, just even the circumstance.
Yeah, they're even coming out now with the food differences that the players are getting.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you want to – And I'm going to say, I will say this politely. I understand that the revenue that you bring in the men's tournament is greater than the revenue you're going to bring in the women's tournament. But don't be the person that sets up on a pedestal and say, look, we're going to treat our athletes equally, because you're not. The NCAA has dropped the ball big time on this tournament, the way it's been operated. You know, the KHSA, I'll have to say this for them. The women's tournament is not at Rupp Arena, but just because of logistical stuff. When you see a men's tournament and a women's tournament in Kentucky, they're going to treat those two programs exactly the same. Venue may be different, just like it is in the women's.
And that's usually a scheduling issue in and of itself.
That is correct. But, I mean, it's just, to me, they preach Title IX as well. But they do a good job, and I have to commend the KHSA for that. Not that I agree with everything they do. But on that point, I would have to say they do their best to treat both men's and women's at least similar, if not the same.
Yeah, shameful for the NCAA, yes. Though, to, I mean, just of all organizations that promotes, in a sense, you know, yes, student athletes, for them to have done something
they
like
just
that is
dropped
is
the
just,
ball. I mean, yeah. And you can blame COVID if you want to, but you just dropped the ball.
I'm gonna clue you in. It's Ryan Howard.
I
couldn't think of her name either, you know, but Ryan Howard, yeah, under the circumstance. Well, here, while we're just even talking about basketball, so here's the Sweet 16 coming up on Thursday. It will be Oregon State, the 12 seed, against Loyola Illinois, the 8 seed. Then in the second game, it'll be Villanova against Baylor. Should be a really good matchup. The third game, the 15 seed Oral Roberts against the 3 seed Arkansas. And then to close out Thursday night, it would be the 11 seed Syracuse against number 2 Houston. So some interesting teams obviously have kind of come in and pulled some upsets in those early rounds. And then on Friday night, it will be number 5 Creighton against number 1 Gonzaga. Then it will be Florida State, the 4 seed, against number 1 Michigan. Ought to make for a good game there. And then the 7 o'clock game Friday night, the 11 seed UCLA against the 2 seed Alabama. And then to close things out, the 7 Oregon against the 6 USC. UCLA, Johnny Juzang, you know, former UK basketball player who decided to transfer out, burning it up at UCLA. You know, I think he's had, like, in the 2 games, he scored like 50 points or something crazy, and thinking, okay, well, why didn't we see that kid play at UK more, right? And it's no different than Dante Allen, you know, at UK. You see him late in the season, but why wasn't that kid playing early on?
You saw him
on
in the middle, didn't seem as much late. Really, I mean, it's kind of one of those deals. He kind of went back into hiding.
But sometimes, you know, we could talk about Coach Cal all day long. Sometimes I think he gets in his mind, this is the player that he has to go with as opposed to who he should go with. And sometimes that gets him in trouble, in a sense. And
well,
you know,
you're giving one guy a big scholarship. This guy doesn't get much, so we're going to take care of the scholarship kid first. Not necessarily the best player, but the scholarship kid's first.
Well, but on one hand, too, it goes back to, well, this kid's a blue chipper, an All-American.
He was promised this.
Yeah, that's exact right. Yeah, and Coach Cal does a lot of promising, in a sense, which is why, you know, it's the one-and-done rule, because he pushes you out, because I don't have room on next year, because this other kid's going to take your place next year, because I've already promised him you'll be my starting.
And if you don't go the NBA, just transfer.
Right.
Johnny Juzang. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Bingo. Unbelievable, in a sense. But the tournament, definitely some interesting games, some interesting matchups. And
my favorite on your early matchups is I like Loyola out of Chicago. I want them to go far just because of the nun. What sister? Oh, well, you know what I'm talking about.
You got 101 years old.
You gotta love her.
Well, it's funny. Did you see where they talked about her little prayer or whatever else beforehand or whatever else? Basically, it's like, let's get a good start and come out and win the game. And that's exactly what they did.
How can you not root for them to get a win or two? I mean,
right? Yeah.
I don't think anybody in this tournament really. If you look at Gonzaga and what they've done over the course of their last several years, I think Gonzaga is probably the top program in NCAA men's basketball for the last 5 years.
Agreed, yeah.
It may be time for them to win a national championship.
Yeah, haven't quite put it together to win, but if there was a year,
this is it. They got a stud team.
Yeah.
And I would say, I'm not going to say downfield, but I think this is Gonzaga's time to shine. I'm not sure anybody's going to beat them in the long run. However, it only takes one bad game to get you out of the tournament.
And there's obviously still a lot of good teams left. You know, Baylor is a very good team. Yes. Houston is a good team. You can't ever count out Syracuse for whatever reason. They always seem to put it together.
I will say this, though. When you talk about Baylor, Houston, Alabama, I'm not knocking the programs. They're ones and twos.
Yeah.
That's a switch. I mean, really, I'm not, like I said, I'm not knocking them. Normally you see Michigan State, not there. You see Kentucky, not there. Duke, not there. You see
Kansas got handed to them.
I mean, but you took all these prolific powerhouses
Blue Bloods.
That you always expect to be a 1-2 seed. They're not there this year. Other people have toed the mark and have got there, but you hardly ever hear of those teams being the ones and twos. It's a little bit of a different switch. It's an interesting NCAA field. You know, women's basketball, it doesn't change a lot. Normally the top seeds in a game win. The only ones that loses are the 4-5s, 7-8s, whatever. The 1-8s, you don't see upsets.
And it's consistently the same teams.
It's consistently the same teams at the NCAA women's. I'm not knocking those teams. I'm just saying what you have is what you have. Normally all the ones usually make it. Ones and twos are going to be in the championship.
Well, you know,
somewhere.
UConn's always going to be in the mix.
Somewhere.
Well, anymore, Baylor.
Baylor's been
You know, there. NC State is another one of those teams that, yeah. You know.
As of late, those teams just kind of dominate women's basketball.
Yeah.
I think there's that much difference between the top programs in women's than the others. And in the men's, there's a lot of even out there. A
lot of parity anymore.
Except Gonzaga, in my opinion, is the overall favorite to win this tournament. If they don't, it's going to be a big upset by someone. That, again, just dumb old Dave's picks. I don't know what I'm talking about a lot.
Even the experts, and we are not experts, but at the same time, they don't even know.
No, they.
You know, you have to play it on the court.
These are not these 20, 21-year-old kids you're determined to pick on. Guess what? They don't know any better. They're just going to go play their butts off and try to win.
Who could have predicted that Kansas would get beat by, almost 40 points?
Embarrassing.
Who would have thought that?
Bill Self is one of the premier coaches of the nation a few years ago. What has he done for the Kansas program
lately?
He doesn't get the Sweet 16s.
No, 2008, last time that they won a championship.
Maybe he doesn't win the big games either. You know, Coach Cal's coming into a lot of fire. He don't make the tournament. He don't make the NIT. I don't know if they have an NIT, but he don't make a tournament anywhere. Shouldn't make a tournament anywhere with this year's team. They were so up and down and just not consistent. And it may have been where COVID caused him some problems early where they just couldn't get bonded or whatever it was, make excuses all day long. It's just you weren't as good as in the past. I think the time of the one and done's are getting over.
I hope so.
More of these kids are staying longer, and those teams are winning tournaments. And that's what you're seeing with Gonzaga right now. This team is absolutely loaded and arguably the best couple players in the nation play on that team. So we'll see how it goes. Again, more importantly, I think for us, let's get these Lady Pirates a victory on Friday night. Those of you all can make it. Again, see the high school or call down there, call Leslie. She may have tickets available. If not, message Mr. Brewer. I know he has tickets available, and I can't remember how many it was. Again, I've heard the number, and it was a large amount. That's just all I know. They will probably be – you probably can't get in until probably the end of the first game.
Correct.
That's why they're starting at 5:30. So it would be kind of like the Estill County thing. You're in second game. You probably can't get in until it's time for your game to start. You know, media may be able to get in, but if you're a regular ticket holder, I don't think you'll get in game one.
No, you're right, and we'll be on the air Friday night, 7:45-ish, the example there. Again, it's an 8 o'clock scheduled tip-off, so we definitely will be bringing that on WSKV on the radio and more than likely on Facebook Live as well.
Yeah, and I will mention this before we go off the air. Next week does start. Baseball, softball, track. Our first game will be Thursday. We'll have another show before that. Boys, I believe, play prior to that. I think they play on Tuesday with their opener.
Correct. Away at Hazard.
Yeah.
And then
that game has been canceled.
The boys' Hazard game?
Yeah, because of the tournament. If they're in the state tournament,
sure.
Then obviously, they're not
right.
going to be playing.
And then we plan on bringing you Wednesday's game where the boys will play host to Owsley County in baseball. So we'll have that game next Wednesday instead of PCSN Live with Dave and Ken.
We'll be at the City Park other than rain. If it rains us out, we'll be right here in the studio bringing you the show. But again, did want to mention spring sports season does start next week. So that'll be a wrap for us here on PCSN Live. See you Friday from the Perry County Central gym. Well, here on PCSN Live, WSKV, whatever we are. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken from the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton. This program is hosted by Ken Simon and David Faulkner. Production is done by Ethan Moore. Programming is done by Angela Osborne. PCSN Live with Dave and Ken is a Pickup Country 104.9 production. Tune in live next week or on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcasts.
Pickup Country 104.9, serving Irvin, Lico, Salt Lick, Levy, Denniston, Golf's Corner, Kirksville, Pine Ridge, Nada, and Boonville. Thanks for listening local and around the world at WSKVFM.com.